Welcome to Off the Cuff with Aubrey Huff. With his co-host, The Hammer. The only show that's bringing you real locker room talk from the guys that play between the lines.
Oh, Hammer, I got to tell you, buddy, this is going to be, I know when we started this podcast, it's going to be uncomfortable, I think, this one for a lot of people.
I think the first thing my wife told me and you, if you guys do this, what should we stay away from?
Religion and politics.
Yeah.
But you know what? In all fairness now, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys let the cat out of the bag. We're going to be talking a little bit of politics today. And just because of the guest we have on
later, yep.
This is the only reason. Now, I met this guy at a Scott Baio charity event 2 years ago for a golf tournament. And Scott Baio, if you guys don't know, is the guy from Charles in Charge, actor. And
he's been getting hammered on social media. I don't even know why, but
he gets crushed because he's a Trump supporter. And,
okay.
And I think some actress came out against him claiming sexual harassment. And she came out as being a liar. And it was all bullshit. And he's had to always just go and like defend himself. And he is very, very active on defending himself on social media.
Good. He should be.
He should be. I mean, this is a guy's good name. Yeah. And I've met Scott Baio.
Yeah.
Great guy. I mean, the first time I met him, you know, obviously you're a little starstruck. That's Scott Baio. I mean, I grew up watching this guy.
Yep.
Right. And so he made me feel so comfortable. Like it was just like talking to a brother. And I got this feeling from him that he's just a normal guy, loves his family. Loves, he's got a great charity that he runs. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but yeah, I was drinking a lot that night.
That's right.
But if you Google Scott Baio's charity, you'll find it.
Didn't know you drank.
Maybe that's why I felt so comfortable.
Maybe that's why you were comfortable.
But at Scott Baio's charity event, I met a young man named Chad Prather. Now, for those of you guys that don't know Chad Prather, he's gone quite viral over the last few years. And you know, I met him, I initially saw his Facebook posts prior to meeting him, and I was watching him, following him on Facebook, because this fucking guy was killing me. Now, if you can imagine a cowboy, just a redneck, witty, smart-ass cowboy, wearing his cowboy hat in the front seat of his pickup truck, with his dog in the background, sitting there kind of talking to his dog, talking shit to his dog, and then going back up and talking to the Facebook crowd, and he was getting very political. And he's a conservative guy. Mm-hmm. I think at this point, he was making fun of the election, I think something Hillary did. And I was dying laughing. And when I met him at the show, I was like more starstruck when I met Chad than when I met Scott.
And I don't know what to say about that.
And so his Facebook posts and all his Facebook stuff he's been putting out started to gain some traction. And it turned into a comedy show, the Star Spangled Banter Tour that he does nationwide now. And so what he does, he gets up there and he's very, you know, conservative, obviously, as am I. Mm-hmm. You're more of a moderate kind of guy.
Politics, stay away from. But no, I like to follow whoever's got the most beliefs that align with me. I'm not going to take a hard stance on either party line. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, okay, what makes the most sense? Who do I think could do the best job? Regardless if you're a Democrat or Republican, it's more so, can we all just get along? Let's put it that way. Go ahead. I won't get into the politics.
Yeah. I know you're very uncomfortable, and your wife would probably punch you if she heard you even talk about it. But I don't care about talking about
I'm not a bitch, guys. Hang on. I am not a bitch. Don't listen. Javi made it sound like you go sit in the corner.
Hey, she's got the action. You go home. You got to beg for it, dude. You got to be nice.
Oh, my God.
Look at, like, again, here we go. On your body, dude. You don't have the best of body. You got to take it.
I've got a two-pack. I've got some man boobs, but I'm still a lot hotter than most men out there.
At your age, I would agree. It's a shit show out there.
So get back into it. I'm not a bitch for the listeners at home. All right, I'm the man in my household. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I've seen you in your house. That's far from the truth. But yeah, so he got this show. He's going around tour, and he's really funny. And for those of you that aren't even conservative, he's fucking hilarious. And he does it in a way that's not so mean. It's more of a sarcastic banter, which I love.
Not in your face.
I am a little different. Like, I can get in your face and get a little, I don't have a job. I don't give a fuck. I'm loaded already, so I don't give a fuck. So for me, if somebody pisses me off, I'm going to let you have it and not be afraid that somebody's going to fire me tomorrow.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm a Trump supporter. Trump train 2020. That's okay. And, you know, it's no secret. Chad's a Trump supporter and Scott Baio's a Trump supporter. And, you know, I think he was even in his campaign. So, and that doesn't mean I don't love you. I'm not going to unfriend you on Facebook because you don't agree with me, right?
No.
But I do believe in what I believe in. Chad believes in what he believes in. And he was so popular with his Facebook post and his tour that he got some some love from Fox. He's a regular contributor on Fox News Network, and he got his own show called the Chad Prather Podcast on Blaze TV. So this guy is going to be fucking hilarious to have on. He did a we'll have him do this whole bit here in a minute.
I can't wait to hear it.
Where he was making fun of beta males, the man buns and the tight jeans. Holy fuck. It was the most funny thing
I think
I've ever.
I saw that one.
Oh, gosh. It's so great,
it's
man.
It's so good.
But he does it in a way that's actually, you actually kind of find it endearing. It doesn't piss you off.
Right? Yeah. It is funny, though. But you know, as Huffy's talking about all this and, you know, his stance, my stance, your stance, listener stance, everyone, please remember, it's okay to have an opinion. Freedom of speech is alive and well in the United States and anywhere for that matter. Well, not anywhere, but in the United States, no one should get attacked and told that they are an absolute piece of shit and they should die just because you don't agree with what they're saying. As Huffy pointed out, he's heavy Trump train. He is. I don't agree with everything he believes in. But we are like brothers, and he's okay listening to me tell him why I don't agree with it, and he'll listen, and maybe he'll change his mind or he won't, and vice versa. He's going to tell me what he believes. It's really important, and I hammer this every time home. Oh, no pun intended with the hammer.
Tack hammer.
Tack hammer. It's an ice pick, you fucker.
Toothpick, bitch.
Toothpick, but it cleans the teeth.
Oh, God.
But the point is, guys, when you're listening, don't get so hot. Don't drive off the road. Just go, okay, let's take a different opinion for 20 minutes, be able to process it, and, you know, take it in before you fire.
Well, here's my thing. Like, okay, so I'm pretty conservative on the Facebook, on Twitter, and all these things. And I remember when Colin Kaepernick kneeled, and I was working out in my garage at the time, and a buddy texted me, "Can you believe this fucker?" Right? And I looked at it and I read the story. I'm like, "What the fuck?" And I had the endorphins firing in the garage, and I'm like, "You piece of shit, un-American bastard! You're getting paid millions," and like, so I tweeted like, "Colin Kaepernick, bullshit! You stand up, you want to live it, or get the fuck out of here!" Right?
Yeah.
You know, no harm, no foul. I got 10,000 followers. Who gives a fuck, right? Yeah. Nobody cares, right? I got so much hate, so many followers from that. The people that commented were hating on me, but I got so many followers that liked it that I got, I think, more followers than I did get comments. But which just goes to show you, the silent majority is out there.
They're out there.
But they just don't feel the need to bitch and yell and scream.
They're afraid to say what they want to say.
I'm not. Fuck
You're
them.
Not.
Fuck
you
them.
Are not.
So that's kind of how I am. I'm wired that way. Now, if I had a job like you do, I'd probably shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you've got to walk a finer line.
Right.
You can't dive into everything. You got to be politically correct. As you stated at the beginning of the show,
right.
Race, religion,
well, what's funny
politics,
about,
stay away from it.
Well, what's funny about that tweet that I made about Colin Kaepernick is I got instantly the next day invited to be on Fox News. So they flew me up to New York, first class me, stayed a couple nights there, went on Fox News and talked about the whole Colin Kaepernick situation.
Because they wanted to exploit what you were saying. They thought, well, because you're not smart enough to realize, they wanted to make you look like a fucking retard.
And I get on there and I was articulate.
Yes.
I made it to the point. And here's the thing, guys. I mean, I don't necessarily, like, they asked me, would that happen in a baseball locker room? I'm like, fuck no, that wouldn't happen in a baseball locker room. I think it happened once after the fact with somebody on the Oakland A's, but you would get knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, to me, you're disrespecting the country. You're disrespecting the people, countless people that have lost their lives for your freedom. And to have this whole thing where you're kneeling, making $100 million as a professional athlete. And for me, Colin Kaepernick used that as an excuse because he lost his fucking job.
He did. He was not as good as he was in the beginning.
And so when I brought that up on Fox News, holy fuck, you racist, you bigot, you piece of shit. You just look like fucking Remy from American History X. I got all these comments, right? And I'm like, what the fuck, man? Yep. I'm just stating what I believe in and what pissed me off as an American male. And thinking to myself, how could somebody in front of the people that died for us, these soldiers that are holding the flag, kneel in front of them? And it was amazing the amount of love that he got. He got a fucking $100 million Nike ad.
He did.
Now he's a national treasure. The state that we live in this world, it just kind of blew me away. So,
but on that point, he got a Nike deal. And this resonates and should sit with you and everyone listening. He got that deal and he got the attention and he got what he got because – obviously, people in our society believe like he did.
Right.
And again, to what you said, you can have your point. You can fire away, and that's your free speech and your right to do so. He has free speech and a right to do so, and that's what he did. So some people agree with him. Some people agree with you. And that's the way it should be, though.
That's right.
He dies. You die. He's un-American. Listen, everybody's got their stance on life. We always don't align, and that's why it's a great country.
Well, that's why I always stress to my kids, and I know you do the same with yours.
Yep.
Don't fucking dish it out Unless you can take
it. Unless you can take
it. And I can take it.
Yes,
and
you can.
As a matter of fact, you know this. Me and you both know how to take it.
We do.
We love to stir the pot. Yep. I always have. And you know what's funny is I have so many conservative friends in, living in Southern California that are quiet as shit because they are surrounded by liberals everywhere. Yeah. California is very liberal.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I'm cool with it. There's great people in Southern California.
Yeah.
But they're so quiet. And they're like, Huffy, gosh, man, I wish I could be like you and just really say what I want. Because, I mean, you just can't say anything in Southern California when you, if you're a conservative guy. And I'm like, well, fuck, man, I don't care. Because to me, if I struggled mightily coming out of baseball, not being who I really was, like I tried to conform to this guy that, you know, was Mr. Superhusband, didn't, you know, I just played by the rules, went to Whole Foods, did everything, folded the laundry, Mr. Mom, basically. And I just stopped being me, and I lost my edge, right, and lost who I was. Just stopped being honest to myself, who I was, and sharing my beliefs. In the locker room, I was always the guy that would just say whatever, have fun, and it was, and I was free in that way. And then yeah. I caged that lion up.
Yep.
And then when I started getting back into that, man, I'm starting to feel freer, I'm feeling happier, because I'm saying what I really want to. And yep. it, you don't have to fucking agree with it.
No.
But don't try and silence me, because what I believe in.
That's right.
That's my big deal.
And the, your friends and anyone that, you know, you're afraid of the backlash to speak your opinion. There's a right way you can speak it. And Huffy, yes, he doesn't have to worry about a job and doesn't have to worry about what people really think because he is retired and he doesn't need anyone to confirm his identity and say what it is. But it's okay if you don't want to publicly engage because you're worried about the backlash. There's a polite way to do it. You can say to the person, you don't have to agree when you're in the crowd and go, okay, yeah, that's a right point. Inside you're saying, you're screaming that that's not correct. Just tell the person politely, like, you know what? I don't agree with you on these points. And then state your opinion. If they get mad, that's on them. But you can do it in a polite way where the eye shouldn't get scraped out of your head.
Or they call that triggered.
Triggered.
Triggered. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, man. So many people. I mean, people are losing Facebook friends over it and losing relationships, family. It's ruining family Thanksgiving dinners. Holy fucking shit, man.
There are other problems in the world.
I mean, to me, like in a situation, you got to know when you want to wrangle that in. Like yes. your wife says, I don't want to hear this shit when you're at home.
Yep.
I don't want to hear this shit at the dinner table. And I agree.
Yep.
That, I don't think that it's such a hot topic nowadays for people that it has no place in the family room. Like when you're talking with other people around, that's stupid. You're just setting yourself up for failure.
Well, if I, in my family, I enjoy my family. It's great. We all, but if I knew that we were going to be in a setting in any family environment for a Thanksgiving or a Christmas where I knew that we had two bloodbaths going on, I'm the guy that's going to throw the grenade and say, who wants to do shots? And I'm going to get people drunk, and then we're going to see the fireworks fly.
Yeah, and then we're really going to get fucking honest.
And then I'll just throw those little daggers in like, hey, what do you think about this? And just sit back and watch.
Yeah, man. Then that's when you really get honest with life.
Yeah, it is fun.
Oh, fuck. Well, speaking of being honest, let's get him on.
Let's get him on.
Let's get Chad
Let's
on.
Get him on and let him get him talking.
All right, guys, this man's career started on Facebook as the political cowboy when his controversial conservative videos began to go viral. Since then, he's gained national exposure by being a regular on Fox News and has even parlayed his passions and beliefs into a hit show on Blaze TV called The Chad Prather Show. What's up, Redneck?
What is up, man? It's good to talk to you, buddy.
Yeah, you too, man. I'm excited to have you on. Me and the Hammer here, we were talking on the way here to the show, and I'm like, dude, I know you don't know much about Chad here, but buddy, I got to tell you, this guy's going to be a treat. I think we could just let him just rip on this whole thing, the whole deal, and thanks for having you on the show, buddy.
It's my pleasure, dude. I've been looking forward to it. Anxious to get you on the Chad Prather Show as well. We're having a blast doing that thing, because we're doing it with video and everything coming out on Mondays through Thursday nights. It's a lot of work, bro. But I'll tell you, I love listening to. We were actually talking about your show on my show the other day, and I was like, it sucks because when you can name your podcast something so cool because your name rhymes with Off the Cuff.
You can't rhyme anything with Chad Prather.
Nothing rhymes with Prather.
But what your show is really cool at, man, is you get to wear your cool little cowboy hat and you get to drink. What kind of whiskey are you pushing nowadays, too? You're drinking some kind of whiskey?
We're doing all kind of different things. You know, I'm a whiskey drinker. I'm half in the bag right now.
Nice.
But wonderful. We could have been in the studio all day. But so John Rich of Big and Rich, he and I got together. He's got a Redneck Riviera, which is a great little whiskey that he started. And so I drink that. But I love Irish whiskey. In fact, I just got back from Ireland. I was over there for 8 days. and just stayed hammered the whole
absolutely absolutely.
Dude, you're more of a drunk than I thought, right? Like, it's pretty funny. Like,
I'm one of those guys that, and so I drink whiskey. I don't drink a lot of beer. My wife's the beer drinker.
Well, you text me at the Washington National game. You told me you had 12 fucking beers watching the San Francisco Giants.
What's the ball game? Right? So you go to the ball game, you got to have a beer. I was at the Rangers game 2 days ago. And, you know, you're drinking beer because that's all they got. Because I don't want to go in the – I don't feel right going into the bars when you're at a baseball game.
Right.
You know, every place now has the buffet and the bars. But that was the thing. So at that Nationals game, if you ever go to the Nationals game, and I'm talking to your listeners, you've got to get those seats in the little pavilion area right behind home plate because they got the buffet upstairs, indoors, and the bar. And it is legit.
Well, can they afford it?
Were they 15 a pop?
Yeah, the beers are 15 a pop. The whole deal. I mean, if you're going to the bar, you're probably spending $20 a drink. That's just
No. With these tickets, you actually it's included. It's all included.
Since you're a fucking celebrity now, you probably got the free hookup, right?
That, and I'm rich like you.
Man, this coming from a guy that started his fucking career in his fucking redneck pickup truck, wearing a little cowboy hat and his dog in the back talking
That's
shit.
Right.
Tell everybody how that happened.
People used to tell me all the time. They were like, I get comments. People are like, your wife is so lucky. I was like, well, she didn't think she was fucking lucky whenever we had $7.58 in the banking account and tried to get to Monday. No, we.
Oh shit. Oh my God.
No, yeah, she didn't give a shit what hat I was wearing. No, but in those days, my career went completely backwards, right? So I went to school, University of Georgia, played a little ball, and then wound up just burning out, right? Just burning out on baseball and came out of school, went to work, traveling all over the world, literally, and then went through a divorce. Burned out again.
Been there.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make a living like the rest of the world does and just join the corporate world and draw a check. That lasted 4 years. I couldn't stand having a boss. Mm. And so I finally called my wife on the phone one day. I was at the gym. I was not in the gym. That's a huge difference, right? And so I was sitting in the parking lot.
Are you a spa guy? Are you a spa and hot sauna? Because that's me. I went to the gym today with Huffy. I get in the hot tub and I go in the fucking sauna. And he says
it gets the heart rate up and that's all you need.
I'm sweating. That's all I need. A shower and shave. I'm out.
Exactly. Exactly. We're sitting there. And all I got to do is sweat out the liquor, man.
That's right.
And I was sitting there in the parking lot and I called my wife on the phone and she's like, she said, what's wrong? And I said, I need to quit my job. I'm depressed and I hate it. And she goes, well, it's a good job. I said, I don't care. I'm depressed. I'm going to die doing it. She said, all right, I support you. You do what you got to do. And I said, thanks, because I've already quit. And she said, she said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to go make a living just being myself. Now, in my head, that sounded articulate and profound. And she was like, what the fuck does that even mean?
You're banking $4.22 now.
Hence, I'm going to go to my truck and start talking shit.
Yeah. She goes, I said, well, I just have this idea. She said, what is your personality worth?
Oh.
And I said, it's like Barack Obama giving a keynote speech at the NRA convention. It's worthless. Just worthless. So, dude, we were like, yeah. But no, I started doing, I'd always posted jokes on Facebook. And so literally it's like the clouds opened up and God reached down and touched me with his finger. And this TV network sends me a message and through Facebook of all places and says, you're a funny guy. Have you ever done television? And I said, well, yeah. And they said, have you ever done teleprompter work? I said, yeah. And they said, come in the screen test. We want to do a show. And so next thing I know, I'm doing this show. Well, we were trying to find ways to promote the show. And so I just sit in my truck and do these videos, just sitting in traffic and whatever. And all of a sudden, boom, millions of people start watching this stuff. And it creates just this avalanche of a fan base of people just wanting more. Because it's one thing to go viral. I mean, mm-hmm. That's like winning the lottery, right? But then all of a sudden, you're doing it every week. Right. It was really kind of miraculous when you think about it. My mom calls me on the phone and she's like, I'm concerned. I'm like, what? She goes, I was at church on Sunday and somebody walks up to me and said, have you heard about Chad? And I, she's like, no, what's wrong? And they go, he's gone viral.
We need to pray for him.
Yeah. And I'm like, Mom, don't worry about it. They're just talking about my Facebook and my Twitter. And I had no idea what that sounded like in her head.
Yeah.
And she goes, Chad, you're 43. You're too old to be touching your Twitter. She's like, no wonder you're sick.
Oh my gosh.
No wonder you're sick.
Oh gosh, dude. I can tell you've been drinking. This is fucking phenomenal. I told Hammer before you come on, we can just let this guy go, man. Yeah. You know, it's
funny.
And what's great about you, man, is like I met you at the Scott Baio event and we'd had a couple pops then and I remember telling you, I'm like, dude, I was more starstruck meeting you because I'd been following your Facebook career and the shit you say in your truck for Facebook and it's parlayed into so many other things. And I thought to myself then, my gosh, dude, you're smart because you know your target audience and you don't give a shit about what, you know, you believe what you say, you're going to say it. And I love that. And you say it not in such an offensive way, but more articulate in your face, kind of sarcastic way. And I love that.
Yeah. So my approach has always been take what I think is common sense, wrap it in humor, make it an easier pill to swallow. But the thing is, common sense is offensive these days. I mean, offensive. People are so thin skinned, they can't handle it. And it really is an interesting deal. But yeah, when I met you, I was like, damn, I really had no idea what I was walking into because I didn't play golf that day. I just came to the benefit that night. And I was like, I had no idea what I was walking into. And I'm like, you know, there's you and there's Michael Reagan.
Kurt Schilling.
And you know, all these. And I'm like, damn. Well, we're moving on up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, dude. It's been so funny. Like you've started doing your own, you know, Chad Prather show, your podcast. You've done that Star Spangled Banter tour. You're still doing that, right?
Yeah. Oh, we're doing it. We're going to change the name towards the end of the summer because it's an 18. We've done 18 months. We've done about 140 cities at this point. The Star Spangled Banter comedy tour. I've got a couple more through the summer, and then we're going to bang it out. We're going to change names. We're going to retour. Rebrand everything and do whole new sets, which everything pretty much now is all new. You know, I do music with my comedy as well. I grab the guitar and we sing some funny songs. Like I got a song about there's 27,000 genders and I don't know how to pick one. You know, is that girl my daughter? Is she really just my son? And then I do this song part about, I said, you know, if Caitlyn Jenner goes missing, we'll pull out the carafe and put her manly picture on a bottle of Half and Half. And so, you know, so we just riff, dude. We have a good time. And like, it pisses people off. And just, I love giving them a hard time. My philosophy, Huffy, is I say, I'm gonna make fun of everybody.
1,000%.
Right?
You have to. And even, so even yourself, you have to. Yeah, you have to make fun of yourself, too, for sure.
You have to be self-deprecating. You got to make fun of yourself. So for me, I look at it like this. I'm like, okay, I don't care if you're gay, straight, white, black, fat, skinny, man, woman. I don't care who you are. I'm going to make fun of you. Like I'm an equal opportunity, you know, offender, really ridicule or mocker. I'm going to do all this stuff, but I'm going to make fun of myself too. Like I'm going to make fun of my kids. Hell, I beat my kids. Of course I can make fun of them. And the beauty is like, I got 5 kids. All you got to do is just cull one of them out of the herd, beat that one and let the other 4 watch. And then you don't have to beat all of them. And then you send that one to the room, you know, moping and crying and all that stuff and hope that that's not the one that gets to choose your nursing home one day. But dude, I'm like, I'm old.
How does it come up with this shit?
Regard.
Unbelievable.
I love it.
Unbelievable. Love it. So dude, the funniest thing I've seen so far, the best thing I've seen you do so far, it was recently. It was a Facebook thing you did. It was and I'm with you on this thing. I'm so tired of seeing these fucking guys with the man buns and their hybrid Kia driving with the I'm with her bumper sticker.
Yeah.
And with the tight pants, you went off on these guys and I was rolling. How do you come up with all this material and how do you deliver it in such a way? Like how often are you in your truck and how long does it take you to do these things? You have to continue recording or you just go for it?
If I tell you this, you're not going to believe me, but listen, when I'm sitting there, I'll be driving down the street and it used to be completely just riff. Like I would get a thought, pull off on the side of the road and be like, for me, it was therapy because my wife used to say, go talk to a professional. I was like, I'm not going to go sit on a leather couch with another fucking dude who keeps asking me, how does that make you feel? It makes me feel creepy, Kevin Spacey. So
this was your ex-wife?
What's that picture mean to you?
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, I would just say these things, put it out in the cyber world. And so I would just do them. And then it got to a point where millions of people were watching. And I was like, well, okay, well, maybe I ought to think about this a little bit. And so at least I would have some bullet points in my head. And so I'll do about two takes, maybe three, because for me, it's not about the verbal. I can spit words out all day long. For me, it's like, did I look at the camera the right way? Or was I, you know, was this humorous in this way? Or was I being an asshole? Because I'm not trying to offend people, even though people are going to get offended. And if you get offended, then that's your problem. I really don't care. But, you know, I riff these things off. It takes, you know, I tell the dog, go get in the truck. He goes out there. He sits by the truck, waits for me to open the door. He pops in there. And then he just assumes the position. And everybody's like, is the dog even alive?
and you get all finished up. You Facebook poke.
give them the poke. And I hate that I ever did that because it's the gayest shit I've ever seen.
It's so gay.
In my life.
That, out of all the last 3 minutes, I have to turn. It's so uncomfortable.
You feel bad for him watching
Facebook. Might as well send that little wave on Facebook that they're waving at you.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
But,
man.
You know, that's like the Facebook poke. Years ago, I was sitting there and I was just fed up with the whole social media thing. And so I gave the Facebook poke and then everybody loved it. And now if I don't give the poke at the end, I got grown ass men, 50-year-old men who are like, where's my Facebook poke?
What?
In your weird ass, dude. Cause that's nuts, bro. People are crazy, man. Well, they're crazy.
You know, speaking
but you're right about the skinny jeans thing. Like, I'm so sick. Like, I saw a dude, this is what prompted this, right? This is where this comes from. I'm in the airport and I see this guy who's basically wearing denim yoga pants, right? His nutsack is just spread out in just this, like.
He's got camel
like,
toe.
There it is.
Yeah. Camel toe in his jeans.
Horrible.
No man wants to see that. I don't want to see that at the airport. I'm wearing my Lululemon loose, you know. Oh, gosh, I feel bad for saying Lululemon.
That was fucking good.
But at least it's loose.
It used to be
right?
Walmart. You came on a trailer. You're fucking Lululemon now.
Oh, gosh. I tell you what, though. Speaking of like topics, it's crazy, man. I don't know if you saw this. I'm sure you did because you're up to politics pretty good. Me and this guy, we can kind of sit around and kind of bullshit about it, but not really get too political on this show. But California, me being from California, Southern California, I know this probably hits home to you. They became the first state to provide illegal immigrants with full health benefits for free, but will only cost the taxpayer $98 million. That just happened.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom's a dumbass. The thing there is, first of all, okay, so they're going to do it for kids that are 18 to 25. And the thing, interestingly enough, the thing that people are pissed off about is because they're not doing it for the older ones too. So $98 million. Now, California as a state, and there's good people in the state of California. There are good people. I've already done 7 shows in California this year. I got 6 more before the end of the year. They always show up. They're great folks. Tremendous. But when you talk about L.A., some aspects of San Diego down there where you are, Sacramento, San Francisco, San Jose, those areas, they're weird, dude. And, you know, it's the bureaucracy of California. That place exists to take your money. I don't care if you're pumping gas or what you're doing.
Which is $4.70 a gallon right now. $4.70 a gallon. Chad, I pumped up my truck the other day. It was $130 to fill it up.
Oh, here's this. I was just in Canada. Guy's got a Ford F-150. It's $220 to fuck his put in his gas tank.
Oh,
yeah,
$220.
Anyway, ridiculous.
Go ahead. Yes, they all take
that's
our money.
Ridiculous. So now Gavin Newsom's going to come out there and say, okay, look, our state is falling apart, and we got people out here paying for private health insurance and doing all these things, and you know that's expensive stuff. And you're going to provide it to illegals that are in there in the name of what? Humanitarianism? I mean, it's ridiculous, but you're being cruel to your own citizen.
Right.
You're going to tax them $98 million to take care of people who shouldn't be here anyway.
Right.
I say just run that wall across the southern border of Texas, across New Mexico, Arizona, and then just fucking take a right, dude. Go up there and like the eastern part of the state, there's some good people over there, but just annex like LA and Sacramento and those cities. Just keep them and then go up above, you know, around Portland, Oregon and Seattle, Washington. And just let's build that wall all the way up.
What gets me is like the bleeding heart for the illegal immigrants. What about our veterans that are living on the streets? I mean, to me, that's a travesty to me.
And I'm in LA a lot, right? So if I'm out there in West Hollywood or I'm in Beverly Hills and I'm looking around. And by the way, when I go to West Hollywood and I wear the cowboy hat, it's like a revival of the Village People, dude. But I don't have to pay for any drinks. It's a beautiful thing. But no, you go out there and all these people are on the streets. And I'm like, really? you got a homeless situation. You got people shitting on the streets in San Francisco. You got fecal maps to tell people where not to go because human beings are taking a crap on the streets and the syringes all over the city. And it's like, and look, San Francisco is a beautiful town. My wife and I were there year before last. We went to Giants Cardinals game. We sat right against the dugout, the Giants dugout, and our knees were touching it right there. And I just stared at Madison Bumgarner's ass the whole time. Gay pride.
I got to tell you, he's well endowed.
He's proud. He does that.
He does well in the shower.
That donkey dick will hit you sideways twice. Yeah,
if that Max guy from the Dodgers came after him the other day in that fight,
Muncy.
Yeah, if he came after him, Bum would have to do is just like anaconda him around his neck. He's over.
So you made the comment on there. Where did I see that on Twitter? Where you said he's just a country boy strong. I mean, is he really that strong?
Listen, okay, here's the deal. What people don't know is like all these Twitter tough guys were texting me. Oh, I'd tell Madison that to his face. I'm like, bullshit, you won't. Trust me. Because here's why. Why? Right. Have you ever seen him in a fight? Fuck yeah, I have. I've seen him in the clubhouse. He would have this thing in the clubhouse where every day he would challenge a new guy to see if they can wrestle him and keep him down for 3 seconds. So I did that reluctantly one day. No shit, Chad. Within 2 seconds, he had me bitched into the locker. He had me choked out in the locker. I didn't even know what happened. And one guy, I think he had Pablo Sandoval on the ground, and he was horse tying him, like one of those calves.
roping him.
Like, what the fuck? It was unbelievable. This guy is so strong. Like, everybody thinks Yasiel Puig would kick his ass. No, he won't. No, this is the strongest motherfucker I've ever seen in my life.
And that's stupid. You know, everybody threw the Puig picture up there, you know, and they forget the fact that Bum's getting pushed from the other side.
Right, right. Makes him look like he's scared, right? Yeah. On Twitter, man, you're very controversial on that with people. And, you know, I found that out and I love it. You get off on it. I get off on it. I love pissing people off on there. But I do it in a way where, hey, this is who I am. For me, as a Christian guy, and you're a Christian guy, I got this the other day at my church. And they're like, Aubrey, hey, a guy walked up to me. He says, hey, I listen to your podcast. It's very cool. I liked it. It's really good. I follow you on Twitter. And may I make a suggestion? You know, maybe, you know, lay off on the swearing a little bit and I'll be praying for you. Now, these are the kind of people I get all the time. Now, as a Christian guy, listen, I like to push the envelope a little bit. I like to be myself because I feel like if I'm not, using the gifts God's given me. What are your thoughts on that?
So like people will come to my shows and my shows are, we advertise them as 18 and above. Right. And then what we do is we basically say, okay, it's a PG-13 show. I'm not going to go out there and do comedy and drop a ton of F-bombs. Although I will in my personal life, my wife's even worse than me. it's my way of expressing myself. And I think that there's a way to use that kind of language would be blue. I try not to do it so much on stage. Every now and then I will, but I still inevitably get people who get pissed off and they're like, well, I thought you were a Christian. And I'm like, okay, look, you're going to have to be very hard pressed to tell me that you can't use it because, you know, my mother's like, oh, don't say that word. And I'm so like, Mom, if I say the word merde, does that offend you? And she's like, what does that mean? I said, it's French for shit, Mom. I said, you know, but it doesn't mean anything, right? Like I was in Nigeria years ago and we're sitting there. Nigeria used to be a British colony. So they still tend to use the British vocabulary. Okay. When they look at doo-doo, they call it shit. It's not a curse word. And so I had this friend of mine, Patrick Osami. We're at this safari in the middle of nowhere, and we're looking for lions. And he's like, there is shit. There is shit. Well, there was all these American missionaries on the back of the truck with us who were just – their buttholes were puckering. Like you could literally hear the wind sucking from their buttholes just tightening up because he's going, there is shit. There is shit because he saw lion shit.
And these
people are like – I'm like, find something. Like, do you know how many people are starving in this country? Deal with that. Don't worry about this guy who's using a British colloquialism and using the word shit. There's other things to get offended by. That's my take on that.
1,000%.
You know, God bless him.
Well, listen, man, I was talking about being offended, right? And, you know, this White House, I had the pleasure of going to the White House when we won the World Series in 2010. We went in 2011. I met Obama. I wasn't an Obama fan. You know this. I shook his hand. I was happy to be at the White House because of the history, the whole deal. Now, I don't know if you saw what I posted the other day. I got over 1 million views on Twitter for a video I made. It was under a minute talking about how it's so sick I was of listening about all these athletes and teams that refused to go to the fucking White House. And I would simply made a post, please, can we just, when I'm watching ESPN or when sports, I just want to watch sports. I'm tired of politics and sports intervening. I just want to watch my sports. And it got misconstrued like I'm a racist. The comments came out, and it was unbelievable. I got comments from Michael Rapaport,
that douchebag.
Oh fuck, man, it was unbelievable. And so, what are your thoughts on like these, all these athletes that don't want to go to the White House?
Go to the White House,
right?
Go to the White House. I mean, it's dumb. Okay, so you don't like Trump? First of all, let me clear the air right there. Trump's not a racist,
right?
Trump is Trump, right? He's a construction guy. He's a contractor from Queens, New York. If anybody knows anything about Queens, New York, that's Trump. He's a counterpuncher. He's got a little thin skin. If you put it out there, he's going to come back at you, and that's the deal. He's thin-skinned in that regard on the personal level. But, you know, when it comes down to the being politically correct or the mainstream media, he doesn't give a shit. He's just going to do what he's going to do.
Yep.
But at the same time, okay, he's not a racist. I mean, he has, good Lord, there's a historic all-time low unemployment for minorities in this country. The guy has – he just made a black woman the head of the Marines, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. So when you look at stuff like this, just like, come on. And I think that certain people are starting to get won over in a way because they're starting to see things and they're like, you know, maybe. And look, honest to God, people are starting to see through the smoke and mirrors because the mainstream media has been proven so damn wrong.
Yep.
But when it comes to athletes, I'm like, guys, stop being social justice warriors. State your convictions. And look, I am not the guy who says celebrities need to stay out of politics or, you know, athletes need to stay out of politics. Look, politics affects all of us. So we should all have a conviction and an opinion. Mm-hmm. But when you get to a point where now you're a social justice warrior, you know, you're a Steph Curry, you're a LeBron James, you're one of these guys. And it's like, just come on, guys, reel that in. Because let me tell you, LeBron James is not a constitutional scholar. And I don't think anybody is gonna be in any way fooled by his sense of politics and what he knows about it. So I'm like, look, like the video you posted the other day, I'm like, yes, kudos, more power to you. What you said is right. But everybody's got to find their deal to get pissed off and angry about the whole thing. Because, you know why they do that, guys? Listen, you know why they do that? It's because Americans today, this generation of Americans, have never been through any hardship.
Amen.
They've never been through anything. And people find their identity in their suffering. And so since they haven't had any, they got to go out and manufacture some. And that's why they're getting so damn offended by every least little thing that's out there.
Well, what it is, Chad, is we've finally seen the adulthood of the trophy generation that's grown up. They've gotten everything their whole life handed to them, and now they've gotten up and they've realized that, holy shit, I don't get a trophy for this. I have to work hard, and they play the victimhood mentality. Holy shit, now you're here. And this is where the time we're living in is right now.
Yeah, we've had, and I've done a couple of videos about this whole participation trophy. I've got a parody song that I do about participation trophies when I'm on stage, and every now and then I'll get a message from somebody when those videos get, you know, out there a little bit, and they're like, and they want to argue with me for the participation trophies, and I'm like, oh my God, sweet Lord Jesus, your kid's gonna grow up with this mindset. That's why you got to beat that ass, man. You gotta whoop that ass, man. These kids screaming in the Walmart, and you gotta whoop that ass. And I know everybody's like, oh, I can't believe it. I'm like, no, you gotta whoop that ass.
Yep.
And let them earn it. Let them deserve it. I dropped my son off yesterday morning, and I got 5 kids, right? So I dropped him off. I also have a vasectomy, in case anybody's wondering. I can put this stuff anywhere.
Anywhere,
bro.
And you're fucking getting someone pregnant.
NHL, I got you.
2 coats probably too.
At least you're making enough money mountain now to be able to take care of them.
Exactly, right? I got my two oldest daughters are in 2 different universities across the country, but I dropped off one of my sons this morning. He's going into 7th grade. He's trying to make the football team, right? And he's feeling the pressure. He's like, "Man, I don't know that much about football." He's a little basketball player, you know. And he wasn't a bad little baseball player either, but he wants to play football. So we're dropping him off because they're doing summer strength and conditioning. And I'm like, bro, it don't matter if you suck at football, you're going to make the team. Because one, you're a warm body and you're an athletic kid and you're showing up and working hard on the mornings, getting up early in the morning to go do strength and conditioning at the high school in order to get ready for the middle school football team. And so, you know, that's the kind of ethic that I wish I could see more in this generation of kids that are only thing they're working out is their thumbs on the PlayStation 4.
Right.
And it's just been lost, man. You know, when I played ball 7 days a week. You know, we went out, we grabbed the pitching machine, we rolled that thing out onto the mound on Sunday afternoons, and it was a free-for-all of whoever wanted to show up and take batting practice. We did that, and it was our life. We loved it. We, you know, I had a cousin who played for Kennesaw State University. He was a pitcher, and he was a great pitcher, but he was a lot of natural talent, right? And I can remember his dad saying one time, he said, if I could get him to work as hard as Chad does in just practicing, he said, there'd be no stopping him. And I don't know. I just miss that ethic. You know, these kids that they just don't work hard anymore. And I know that we've always complained about the generation under us, but, man, we are a privileged bunch of people in this country.
Chad, I got to ask you, you said you got two daughters at university. What happens if they show up for Christmas break and they got a guy coming in with a man bun and yoga pants on? Do you mention that, or
they've been indoctrinated to be liberal?
Yes. Yes.
Well, we don't. Here's the deal. I don't fund bad philosophies. I don't believe in that. You know, I've got one daughter who's both of them are on a scholarship, but one's on a very significant one. And but we still pay for those things, and, you know, a lot of their education. We don't fund bad ideologies. And I told them right up front, I said, look, if you come home stupid, we're going to keep you home. And so don't – why am I going to pay this much money for you to go get an education and you're going to come home stupid?
Well, they're like, Dad, you're stupid.
So I got one daughter who she's a ballet dancer, right? And mm-hmm. So she is on a significant scholarship as a dancer, which sounds weird to me. And I'm like, okay, baby, as long as you understand you can't major in ballet, that's not a major. Like, you, that's not a thing you do. You got to do, I know if you want to have a studio, you got to do some business and marketing. She's like, but you're in the entertainment business. And I'm like, look here, shithead. I got an education. I got a bachelor's degree. I actually wound up with two of them and a master's degree. And I said, I didn't start out with the idea that I was going to be the funny guy on Facebook, because freaking Facebook didn't exist.
Yeah.
And if you listen to Ocasio-Cortez, none of us are going to exist in the next 12 years anyway. So,
boy, the more she talks, the more Trump's going to get elected in 2020. Just keep on mouthing off, lady. That's all I got to say.
Trump's going to get elected because these people are morons.
Right.
I mean, they're trotting out the circus, dude. It's like a clown car at this point. Did you see Pete Buttigieg drinking out of a brown paper bag with the two black guys?
Oh, dude, I saw that.
Yep. On the streets of New York.
I'm like,
what are they going to teach you next, fried chicken, to hold your gun sideways and, you know, hang it out of your hoopty? I mean, you look like a dumbass.
Yeah, they're trying any way to look relevant in there. But, there was another one. You saw, you were at this, who were you talking shit to on Twitter? The guy was jogging. Who was this?
Swalwell.
Yeah.
Swalwell. Eric Swalwell.
Yeah, that was great.
What a douche. This guy. And I don't want to troll anybody, because I get trolled so much, and you know how that is.
Sure.
But you have these people who just get a hard on for you, and all of a sudden I got to admit, I got this hard on for Swalwell, because to me he looks like a dude whose name should be Todd, and he comes to the family reunion and you haven't seen him in 8 years, but he immediately walks in and says, "Hey, if we can get a minute, I'd like to share this business opportunity for you that would be perfect."
Network marketer.
And, you know, just that douche, that level of douchebag. And I'm like, this guy wants, and so I said to him, I said, hey, because you know, he jogs up and he says, hey, I'm running another three more miles, but then I've got an announcement to make on Colbert tonight. And I said, since you've already nuked your campaign, because that was the deal. You know, he said, well, why do you gun owners need your guns? We can nuke you anyway. I'm like, look here, Nuke Lelouch, you've already nuked your campaign. So why don't you just jog on back to Colbert and quit this thing? And so anyway, he says, I don't jog, but, and this is how smarmy this fool is. He goes, I don't jog. He said, but I'll race you in a 5K.
What?
And he goes, $10,000. And if I win, we donate it to Moms Demand, which is one of those things, gun rights deal, gun control deal. And if I lose, we can give the money to any place that you want. Now, let me explain to you what he just said. What he said is, he says $10,000. Now, at no point in that tweet did he said, I'll give $10,000.
Yeah, yeah.
He
just
said $10,000. So that means I'm going to pay
right.
No matter what.
Exactly.
Right? Smarmy politics. That's a smarmy, nasty, deceitful politician.
So did you engage in that? Did you go down the road?
I said, Swallow, you don't have $10,000. I said, that's why you keep getting on here and asking Clinton speaking event prices for your donations, $5, $1, you know, because the guy's got to get, you got to get $65,000 in order to, and I don't think any one person can donate more than $4,000, something like that. I could be wrong, but you got to get $65,000 in donations from mostly individuals in order to be eligible to get on the debate stage for the DNC. Yeah. He can't do it. He's polling at 0%. Oof. That's no one wants yeah. him, right?
That's nobody a dark room at night. His... Yeah, you're right. He should shut it down.
No, I mean, if somebody needs to nail his Ponzi scheme, MLM, Sharon Ash. But so anyway, I'm like, dude, just quit. I said, first of all, you're asking me to, he sent me a private message. He called me a chicken. And I said,
he private messaged a chicken.
He sent me a deal and he called me a chicken. You're a chicken. You won't race me. I said, bro, the last thing you need to do is enter another race because you are dying in this one.
And then crickets, I bet, right? Nothing.
I know. So he goes, well, I don't jog. And I said, this is the one that blew up viral, went crazy. I said, you don't? And then I posted the video of him jogging. And, yeah. And so people are sending me messages like, well, we run, we don't jog. And I was like, shut the fuck up. Oh. Gay people suck dick. I mean, what do we, I'm just going to call it like I see it.
Dude, I got to tell you, man, I fucking love you, dude. I talked to you about, a year ago, and your girl, Tommy Lauren, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, I was telling you, hook me up, dude. I love that girl. She's so hot. And she got a boyfriend now, right?
Yeah, she got a boyfriend. They've been together. He's a good dude, too. Your area now. She's South Bay.
Yeah, Puffy, I hate to tell you, your body ain't getting nothing. Oh, when you start talking, she's running, bro.
Oh, she's way smarter than I am. But yeah. She was like, I was going to go with a point here, though. She was on the Bill Maher show, right? And that guy, he's like the biggest douchebag liberal idiot on the planet. I've got to see you on that show. I think you and him bantering back and forth would be fucking epic.
I'd love to do it. We were almost on there. So we had two opportunities. One was Mar, and another was The View, right? And oof. So our guys were like, you know, do it. Well, the executive producer for Mar finally was like, I just don't know. And I'm like, look, I don't lose any sleep over any of it. It's fine. I'm just a white dude. You know, I'm one of those. I'm the white hetero Christian male in a cowboy hat. You know, I'm the redneck racist, right? That's what everybody's going to – they see a white guy in a cowboy hat, and they're like, oh, my God, this guy is KKK. And so and people are idiots. And so anyway, they wound up not pulling the trigger on the thing, and for whatever reason, I just – yeah, these guys are morons. You know, I've done so many shows at this point, so many different interviews. I'd love to do Mar. I say that. I think I would. I'd love to do Mar.
That'd be interesting.
Because he's just a smarmy bitch. He really is.
I'd love to see somebody just talk. Because you have good humor. Like Tommy, she's smart, but her humor doesn't match his. Like he's had that sarcastic asshole humor. You can do that with him back and forth.
Yeah.
Which would be really good.
Well, the thing with Tommy is, and I love Tommy. She's a dear friend. And, think about her every day because our studio
too.
Is where she started at the Blaze. And so we share the same studio that she used to have her Tommy show on. And I think about her when I'm sitting on the toilet too, but that's another story.
I wasn't going to go that dark. Well, yeah, I was.
Paying eggshell on the walls.
Yeah.
Eggshell, baby.
Eggshell all day.
I love Tommy. And, no, you know, Tommy is, and I say this in all kindness and love, but, you know, Tommy's kind of a one chord song. And I think I told you that, you know, she gets going and she puts that finger in your face and she's like, let me tell you something, Chad. Blah, la, 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 la. And I mean, she just rolls off. So in terms of being humor, no, not a lot of that going on. It was the first time she came on my podcast and we were in Beverly Hills in the studio there and she started rattling off. And I said, whoa, 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 stop. Bring in some tequila. This girl's got to relax.
Slow her down.
Tommy, we're not going that. We're going to hang out, okay? She doesn't believe in the whole hanging out thing.
How many deep are you right now since we've been talking?
Oh, I wish I was drinking, dude. I drink earlier. Oh, okay, I drink earlier on the studio. I'm going to drink some more, though.
Okay,
let me tell you,
man.
So I just got back from Ireland. Like I told you. And the jet lag thing, a little bit. So we did 5 episodes in studio yesterday. Mondays are our hard days because we just boom, boom, because I get right back on the road and I've got shows all weekend long and then back and forth. And so we came to dinner. We had one of our colleagues was leaving. So every Monday I like to bring all my team out. We got like a dozen people at dinner And I'm just drinking. I'm drinking this Japanese whiskey, and that stuff's like
Suntory.
Some of that stuff is strong.
Oh, it's gasoline.
It'll get you.
And I can't pronounce it. It's like Miyagi-Do, and I'm like, here I am painting the fence. You know.
I think you just tried to say Miyagi-Do, like Miyagi-Do Joe. Yeah, right, what the fuck? This isn't Karate Kid.
Cobra Kai's gonna come out of the fucking corner at the restaurant and kick you in the face. Daniel.
So Party Foul Steve, Party Foul Steve Powell, he's always with me. He goes everywhere I go. He drives me everywhere. And he travels whatever city I go to. He goes with me for the most part. And we climbed in the car and my Mercedes here. And I jumped over in the passenger seat. And, dude, I have no recollection of even pulling out of the parking lot. Dude, I was gone. Next thing I know, we were in my driveway, which is about an hour away. And thank God for Party Foul because, dude, I was gone last night. It was a mixture of just having the drinks and exhaustion and the whole thing because I don't get drunk. Like, I don't like imbalance. I grew up around some alcoholics, had some alcoholics in my family, always made me uncomfortable. But I do drink whiskey.
Right.
That is my drink of choice. I do drink whiskey, and I drink it pretty much. I have a drink or two every day of my life. And
keeps your liver
professional. Why I stay healthy.
It keeps the blood flowing. It thins the blood, keeps you healthy. I think I just heard you say you're Mercedes. So you've gone here's a guy that's gone from a redneck truck to Mercedes.
Yeah.
Love the dog it, doesn't get in that.
What a feel good story.
Yeah.
I know. Listen, so like
is it a hybrid?
I did a video. I did the skinny jeans in the Mercedes. Ooh. I did the skinny jeans video in the Mercedes. The dog is back there, filthy, in my freaking Mercedes, white leather, and I'm like, son of a and so my truck is getting redone. I'm going to pick it up tomorrow. My guys at Road Armor that make these incredible bumpers and just really know how to trick out a vehicle.
Good plug.
An nice off-road.
Plug.
These guys are badass. And we serve on the guy that owns that, Mark Hansen. We serve on the board together with the American Valor Foundation, which is Chris Kyle's family, his parents and his brother and sister-in-law, those guys. So I'm on the board with the Kyle family. And but Road Armor does. I told him, I said, trick this truck out. You'll see it online. I mean, I'm like, I want it to be badass off-road hillbilly. But I said, put lights underneath it. I want, like, if we're going to show it off, let's show
it. Make it gangster.
Yeah, it's going to be like a redneck disco.
Yeah, there you go.
Please tell me they're doing the Dukes of Hazzard horn.
Oh.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I need to get that done.
You need to call and get that one done.
There you go. Shit, man. Oh, hey, on that note, Chad, hey, we're going to let you go, buddy. That was great shit today, man. I really appreciate you being on the show, man. It's
I'm fans of you guys. Hey,
it's fucking
gold. I'm fans. Keep doing the blog, dude. You're killing it on that thing. I know that gets hard to do.
I'm not smart enough to keep writing, though. Fuck.
You're good, though, man. You're good.
It takes so much of my time.
I don't give anybody advice, but I know with me, I had to start breaking my stuff up when I wrote and just do smaller snippets because you're writing a lot, dude. I know how much work goes into that. That's a lot, but it's good freaking stuff. I love that blog.
Thanks, buddy. And thanks, buddy. You got great shit going too at the Chad Prather Show. If you guys, listeners out there, check out the Chad Prather Show. Got a great podcast. I'm going to be on it soon, right? What date was it?
Yeah.
We have a scheduled date, have we?
Yeah, we got a scheduled date. We'll get you on Skype. I'd love to get you in studio and hang out.
Where's the studio?
Get you on, we're in Irving, Texas.
Oh, fuck, man. That's a great. I'm a Texas boy. Give me an excuse to get out there. Then you can show me some of that whiskey.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, sure. Buddy. All right, Chad.
Hell yeah.
All right, brother.
Always
thanks to meet you, Chad.
That.
Good deal, brother.
I appreciate you, boys.
See you later, buddy.
You be good.
You too, pal. That was probably
that's
the funniest
fantastic.
One. That was the funniest guest we've had so far.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's like sitting in a locker room.
Yeah, I don't know how he spits that shit out. That actually, you're right. That kind of reminds me of when you're right after a game.
Yeah.
Or right before a game when your adrenaline's pumping, you're getting excited to go out there and everybody's on edge and you're kind of just ready to go out there. And he just has it. It's natural.
Yeah, well, he's obviously an educated guy. Two bachelors and a master's. I mean,
right,
he knows his politics, knows procedure.
He's smart. He knows his target audience. He knows the conservative crowd, and he plays to that, right?
Yeah.
And what I love about it is, like we said earlier, he doesn't piss people off. He pisses people off, but it's in a very sarcastic, very loving way.
Oh, yeah.
So, I thought that was a fantastic interview. Just great show. I can't wait to be on his show and have some.
Have a pop or two.
Yeah, have a
see where it goes.
Yeah, it's that Irish whiskey.
Uh-huh.
All maybe right, everybody.
I'll drive you home.
I know we don't ever like to get political very much, but hey, that show was, so shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Huff and Hammer out.
Hell out.